Hello out there in podcast land, and welcome back to Spoilers, your movie review podcast, where your hosts have lots of opinions, but zero credentials. I am your host, Hollywood, and I'm joined by my other co-host, Adam.
Hello.
Just us two today. Thought we'd try out just two-man team.
You're in for a treat.
You are in for a treat. There's no wrenches.
Yes.
This is not a blind episode.
Right.
We both have seen this movie.
True. Fact.
And the movie in question is 2013's Stand Up Guys, directed by Fisher Stevens, and it stars Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, Alan Arkin, and a lot of surprisingly cute women.
Yes, that is true.
For the women supporting roles, very cute.
Yeah, good times.
We'll get into that. Let me hit you with a brief synopsis. A pair of aging stick-up men try to get the old gang back together for one last hurrah before one of the guys takes his last assignment to kill his comrade.
Yeah.
This is not the movie we were expecting.
Not at all.
We were expecting like an Ocean's 11, like a heist. Like, we got to get the crew together for one last show.
Right. But with a bunch of old people kind of putting an old twist on it.
Yeah.
Like, this is not how I used to do it back in the day. What's the computers?
Mm-hmm.
There was some of that, but not for the not the way that I was thinking it was going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it starts off with Al Pacino getting out of prison, very much in the style of Ocean's 11 when he comes out and he's greeted by his comrade, which not Brad Pitt. But
Walken,
which I think is a much cooler guy.
Yeah,
plays it much cooler anyway. Not a fast talker, just he's a Walken talker. He talks much like Walken, and through the whole movie, he's got his own, like any Walken movie. Anything he says, it sounds interesting, and it sounds just cooler.
Yeah.
Than anything ever before. And the best example is from a movie that I loathe. They Live. Still to this day, still the worst movie you reviewed on this podcast.
Yeah, this is our 18th episode. Still number 18
yes,
in your list.
Absolutely. Okay. They take a line from that one, the kicking ass and chewing bubblegum line, which is just, it works so much better in this movie. And I'm like,
because it's coming from him.
Yes, it's like Chris Walken, yes.
But he didn't say it the right way. He said something like,
there's only two things left to do. Chew bubblegum or kick ass.
We're out of bubblegum.
We're out of bubblegum.
Something like that.
Yeah. I was like, all right, very good. And I don't know if I appreciated it more because I saw the shitty movie that it comes from, or just because it was Walken saying it and Pacino chiming in as well. I kind of feel like that bumps up They Live a little bit as far as cred goes. If they're going to take something from that movie and bring it in and make it good, or then again, maybe they just made it better.
Yeah. Well, like I said in that episode, it's a cult classic. Like,
right.
People love that movie.
Yeah.
Let's pretend you never saw They Live.
Okay.
So you don't know where that line's from. If you heard that blind, yeah. Would you have just thought that was the funniest shit ever?
No, I would have thought it was cheesy as hell.
Oh, okay.
But I took in the way of they were making fun of it in a way, kind of just taking that like, screw that movie. That's how I take it.
Oh, okay.
Everything in my life is screwed that movie.
Yeah.
So that's just my personal spin on it.
But before we jump into the movie, did you enjoy this movie?
I did enjoy this movie. I was expecting it to be bad because the synopsis said a bunch of guys for the last hurrah. And any movie that this is the last job, the last anything, always ends up bad. And it's kind of, you predict what's going to happen. Like, oh, it's going to go bad in some way, shape, or form. Even it's the last, like, everyone, it's my last day on the force. I'm going to retire. Then the guy gets shot and killed or something like that. I was expecting something like that where, all right, this is the last one and everything goes bad. But it didn't get framed that way.
No, it's a comedy. It's more of a dramedy.
Yeah.
It's a mixture of drama and comedy. Cause Walken and Pacino and even Arkin, when they introduce his character, they're all doing one liners. They're all doing quips, just quick bits with one another.
There's a lot of, I was laughing a lot during this movie. I wasn't expecting to laugh.
Like
that
the
much.
First 5 minutes, we were already laughing.
Yeah.
Where Pacino comes out of prison.
Good. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I've seen a Christopher Walken movie that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's part of this, that it just, because it's him, it just elevates the whole movie in some way, shape, or form. Kind of like Jack Nicholson to me as well.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done anything bad that I've seen. Well, Chinatown was kind of slow, but that was really, really old.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
How about you?
I enjoyed it. I didn't expect to laugh during this movie.
Yeah.
I thought there was just going to be some crime movie, and it's Pacino, it's old Pacino. So he's doing the whole hoo-ah like that.
Yeah.
He's in that. You know, frame of mind. And then I knew Walken was going to be good, and Arkin's usually funny. But all three of them together, it's like, holy
shit.
It
was nice.
I wasn't expecting any of this.
I haven't seen Arkin in much. I've seen him in the Sunshine movie with Steve Carell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was in Argo.
Yeah, he was in Argo. He was one of the movie, one of the, he worked in Hollywood.
Yeah, with John Goodman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing I've seen Arkin in. And like, I hear that he's a big deal. People say he's a good actor. He's done a lot of good things, apparently. I haven't seen him.
He's been doing a lot. Ever since he won the Oscar, he's been getting a lot more roles in movies like Argo, like more serious roles like that. He's he was the dad in Edward Scissorhands. When they bring him home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was young Alan Arkin.
That was a long time. Did he have hair back then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it was a little darker. He was in Get Smart, the movie with Steve Carell, the remake. He was the dad in Slums of Beverly Hills. I like that movie. It's a cool indie comedy. He was in The Jerky Boys.
What?
He was in North. He was the judge in North.
What is The Jerky Boys? That's a movie?
Yeah, The Jerky Boys. It was a gag. These guys would call places and use voices.
Yes, no, that's how I know them. They like, you kicked my dog or something. That was The Jerky Boys, as far as I knew.
Yeah, so they made an actual movie out of it.
Oh, what?
And Alan Arkin was in it. He was in the Rocketeer.
Oh, wow.
He was the mechanic to the Rocketeer.
Interesting.
He was the one who put the gum in his leaking
to make
rocket.
It work better.
So he's been in stuff we've seen. It's just lately, as he's getting older, he's getting more prestigious roles.
Yeah. Now, for me, the biggest thing for me is Walken, because he's like a god to me as far as movies go. Just anything he says sounds amazing. At the very beginning of the movie, they break into a pharmacy to get some pills for his boy Pacino, which apparently can't get it up.
Because they wanted to go see prostitutes.
Right. That was one of the first things when he got out of prison he wanted to.
It's party.
It's party, yeah.
It's party.
Yeah, so he goes and he gets some hookers and, I guess it didn't work out so well for him, so they have to leave and go get some pharmacy help.
Yeah.
And just Christian Walken reading off the different medications that he wanted, it was entertaining as hell to me.
For my, I can't do Walken.
Yeah.
But he says for my cataracts.
Yeah.
For
anti-anxiety.
For my ulcer.
Right. Just everything he says, it sounds funny. I don't know if it's supposed to be that way, but I feel like he's in on the joke because he does a lot of things where he reads stuff.
Yeah.
Like he did the Lady Gaga thing. He read the lyrics and he knows that he's got a very specific speaking style.
Yes.
He has to. And I like that he takes that and runs with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like some sort of snooty. He's a big time actor, but he's not serious about his stuff.
Yeah.
He's in on the joke, which is great. Anybody that's in on the joke is amazing to me.
In that scene in the pharmacy, the one thing I did like is they're both criminals. It's just Pacino. What you find out in the story is there was a hit or a crime that went bad.
Right.
And it was involved Pacino, Walken, Alan Arkin, and then the mob boss, the old man in the wheelchair from Breaking Bad, ding, 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 that guy. It involved his son. Pacino killed his son by accident in the crossfire.
Right.
He went to jail. He kept his mouth shut. He didn't rat anybody out.
Yeah.
So you find out that they're all criminals, and breaking in, you see them back in their criminal mode, even though they're old.
Yeah.
So Walken's smart enough to lift the camera up and cut the wire, and then Pacino's picking the lock, and they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Like, they didn't even talk about it. Just like walk in and
they're still talking just about the hookers and stuff while they're doing it, like nothing.
That's good. That's veteran criminals. They fall back into their own routines seamlessly. Like, they did this yesterday, even. So that was cool. They got in all the pills and everything. They go shoot some pool to let the Viagra set in. First Pacino pops like half the bottle. He takes the whole half
he
bottle
says
of
it's
Viagra.
It's a knuckleful.
Yeah, a fistful.
Yeah, a fistful. Yeah.
So he takes all that and they're playing pool. All of a sudden he's ready to go. So they go back to the hooker place and
Mount Everest is in my pants.
Yeah.
he was very Pacino in this movie. He wasn't like the loud, Gary, like that. But he was like the older, funny Pacino.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Going off topic real quick. Well, it's still Pacino, but did you ever see Dick Tracy?
Yes.
Okay. So in that movie, his character, I think, is, Big Boy.
Right.
Big Boy Caprice. And he's playing Pacino that people make fun of him for.
Yeah.
Because when Pacino started, he was serious. He was in The Godfather, Serpico.
Right.
You know, all these serious movies. And then around Scarface, he started getting a little over the top.
Right.
So his role in Dick Tracy is just him just over the top. Just, I want him dead!
Yeah. Where was that as far as the timeline goes? Was that before Scarface, after Scarface?
After, because Scarface was in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
Dick Tracy, I remember, I was a kid when it came out, so probably 90, 91.
Okay.
And I liked him as a kid. I was like, who is this guy? He's screaming all the time. I want him dead. Do you understand me? I want him dead. That Pacino scream? He wasn't like that. He didn't scream. He had the little, because he's getting old. He had the little, like, Mount Everest is in my pants. My my favorite line when they first go to the apartment was Christopher Walken keeps says, I have cable.
Yeah.
He's like, I had cable in the joint. I had stars at Showtime, and I was in the fucking big house. Or he said something like that. What the fuck do you have?
Yeah, now very early on, you get the idea that Christopher Walken's supposed to kill Pacino.
Yeah.
Like, at the very beginning, as soon as he gets back to his apartment, he's already got the gun ready to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of get the vibe that he's supposed to kill him.
Yeah.
You find out later on that he's been, I guess, paid or being...
He's been ordered.
Ordered to kill him because he killed the gangster's son.
Mm-hmm.
So the gangster wants Walken to kill Pacino. And he's doing this in a way that he served, was it 28 years in prison that he served? Mm-hmm. And he waited for him to get out of prison before he killed him to, I guess, make him suffer some more or something.
Yeah. He wanted him to suffer every minute in prison.
Right. So from the beginning, the whole thing is Walken's supposed to kill him, but they're like best friends. But it's very weird. And they have a weird conversation about it at some point. We're like, all right, so who's going to kill me? Somebody's going to kill me.
Enough with the games.
You're right.
Is it you? If he would have threw one scream in, that would have been great.
Right.
But he didn't. And throughout the whole movie, he's eating like a fucking madman. Well, it's his last day on Earth.
Yeah, I get that, but your stomach can only take so much.
Yeah, at his age, I'm guessing Pacino is in his late 60s, early 70s. I'm guessing his character is around the same age.
Yeah, I would say probably 70s, because, I mean, if he's friends with Walken and Arkin, who's already about to die.
Yeah. He has one foot in the grave.
Right, yeah, exactly. He's got to be an old guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, being in prison for so long and eating the prison food, I feel like your stomach won't take that much food right away.
Once you get nutrients in your system.
Yeah, it's going to get you all crazy. But it's a movie, I guess, so.
Yeah. Is this a movie that would exist in your world? Because that's a big thing with you.
It is a big thing. And it went back and forth a lot. For a lot of things, it did exist in my world, but there were things that kind of took me out. The fact that they were going in and out of places so easily, undetected.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the pharmacy and they cut the alarm. I feel like there should have been some response time.
Yeah.
Something should have been up at that point. And then later on, they're going through a suit store as well, just breaking in, walking around and doing things. We'll jump ahead a little bit, but spoiler alert. Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah.
Alan Arkin dies.
Yes.
And they have to bury him.
I knew this was going to be, as soon as I saw you grab the phone, I already knew that was a note.
Yeah, because they're on the cemetery. This is 6 o'clock in the morning, you find out. It's 6 o'clock in the morning and they're in a cemetery. They have enough time to dig up a grave and bury Alan Arkin without anything happening. And that's like, there's no way in hell. There's groundskeepers walking around. There's got to be some way. There's like, what are you doing here?
Well, they had next
why
to him.
Why do you have the tractor?
Yeah, I was about to say they had the tractor next to him.
Yeah, that's got to cause a commotion.
Do you think they paid off somebody?
It's possible.
Do they sleep in this? No, they don't sleep in the cemetery, but there must be someone who's watching over it.
It's a creepy groundskeeper.
Night.
The guy that's running around trying to find Scooby-Doo and his crew. He's got to be on the premises.
He's probably there.
Yeah.
They probably just paid him off, but. Doesn't it take a while to bury, because they buried him next to his wife.
Right.
In the same grave plot.
Yeah. That's precision.
Yeah. So you have to be accurate. Mm-hmm. And when they go, let's bury him, Pacino, let's bury him.
Yeah.
Cuts to them in the cemetery. Grass is fine. Doesn't even look like dirt.
Right.
Did you notice that?
Yeah,
it just looked like he's been buried there for 10 years.
Right.
It just looks like
perfect
grass.
Yeah, these guys are criminals and also, he has a green thumb.
Oh, that's true.
Al Pacino, while in the joint, became a gardener, an herbalist.
Yeah.
A gardener. I don't think he's in it. Whatever.
I'm going to go with gardener.
Okay. Yeah.
He became very good. He got a green thumb, he said.
Right.
And I like the story he was telling Alan Arkin when they steal the Challenger.
Yeah.
Or the Charger. I think it was a Charger.
It was fancy.
Yeah, some American car. They're driving. He goes, I developed a green thumb in prison. This is horrible, Pacino. I apologize out there.
That's fine. Yeah.
I developed a green thumb. I knew a guy who committed a crime just to go back to see how his plans were.
Right.
And that was very Shawshank-like.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Remember in Shawshank, they say the old man, when he's giving his voiceover, I'm thinking of just robbing the supermarket so I can go back and see you guys.
Right. It was the, what's his name? He did the thing in the headboard. He put his name, Bert was here or something.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy that went backwards, Crow.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
Jake, which Jake the bird.
Was it Jake? Jake the bird. But the guy, the owner, doesn't matter, the owner of the bird.
Oh, you're talking about the old man, right?
Yeah.
Oh. I forgot his name.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But yeah, besides that, I mean, the going in and out of places without being detected, and then also, well, I guess go back a little bit more.
we can go anywhere you want.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I'm all over the place. When he takes the fistful of Viagra, he goes to the whorehouse and he gets his thing off and then.
Four times. I guarantee you, you're going to have a smile on your face.
Right. Yeah. It was very, very interesting. But he, because he took a fistful of pills, he's got a heart on that's lasting too long. Mm-hmm. So plus he's snorting medication. He's drinking a lot of drinks at the bar. He's going for it. He's really, well, I guess in his mind, he knows he's going to die. So might as well go for it. But they end up at the hospital because he's got this raging heart on that won't go away.
Yeah.
And as soon as he gets carted into the hospital, you see there's a tent in his pants or on the gurney. And it was like, whoa, it was very distracting the whole time.
I didn't even notice it.
You did it.
You had to point it out.
Oh, Jesus. I just, when I first saw him, like, this, wow. And it was there for like a good 5 minutes, just staring at you. Like, this is cool. But the nurse that ends up attending to them was the daughter of Arkin, you find out later. And she's very cool about the whole thing. I assume they get a lot of Viagra patients come in.
Yeah.
But still, she was very too cool about it. And then eventually when Arkin dies, they come to her. Hey, we got a, your dad's dead.
Just straight out.
Yeah.
Can we talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, what's up? Your dad died. Just like that.
Yeah. Where is he? He's in a stolen charger outside.
What'd you guys do?
Yeah.
We were partying and, you know, he's dead.
Yeah. We gotta bury him. Oh, right now? Yeah, right now.
She's like, okay.
Okay. What the?
She goes outside and touches his head. She's like, he's still warm.
Yeah, it was like,
it just happened. Half hour ago. Right. Within 30 minutes.
That was another thing that would not happen in my world.
No.
my mom or dad is dead. Let's go bury him right now. All right. No, I can't imagine that. I'd freak out. I'd want a proper burial. But then again, he's a criminal, so maybe he doesn't have a lot of family.
Do you think they were close?
I don't know,
because remember when she was standing at his grave, he said he bought this plot for me when I was four, and all he told me was, make sure you come visit me from time to time.
Yeah.
And she sounds like she threw him in that old folks home. So.
Right, exactly. So, by the way, that's when they find Arkin. They go to break him out of the old folks home.
They're getting the crew back together.
Right. And this is 1 o'clock in the morning or 1:30 in the morning. They show up.
There's three old people.
That was another thing that bothered me. Another, not
that
my world.
Late.
They just walked into an old folks home.
No security.
And took the guy out. I'm pretty sure that's, they have measures in place to make sure the old people stay there. I mean, they're there to die in most cases.
Uh-huh.
You can't just let them walk around. That's a liability.
Yeah. That's true, because Seinfeld on his, I'm telling you for the last time, did you see it on HBO?
Yes. Yep.
He has a thing about old people in Florida. He goes,
okay.
What's with the security guards and the old people place? Are people stealing old people? Are you there to keep the old people in?
Yeah.
None.
Nothing. They walk in and there's an old lady smoking in the lobby at 1:30 in the morning.
And they ask him, have you seen Hirsch?
Yeah.
Oh, he's so sweet. He's over there. Are you here to rescue him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I wish someone would come rescue me.
Yeah.
And Pacino says something like, oh,
yeah, we all do.
We all do, sweetheart. We all do. And Arkin has got one foot in the grave.
Yeah. He's sitting there breathing oxygen.
Wide awake.
Yeah.
It's 1 a.m. and these old people, I thought old people went to sleep at 7 and woke up like at 4.
You're right. So maybe he woke up early.
Yeah.
Maybe went to bed at 3.
Yeah, woke up that's at 1. True.
But that was another thing, is like, not my world. but I was able to forgive it though, because it wasn't, although it was trying to be my world, I felt like,
there was more of it in the real world
to
cancel out the...
It didn't take me out completely. I was like, I don't know about that, but it's walking.
Yeah.
So maybe I gave it a walking pass. Maybe that's my thing.
Did you like Alan Arkin in the movie, since you said you haven't really seen him a lot in this?
He was fine.
For his part, he was good.
Yeah.
He's usually a support. He's never been a lead. He's always like the second or third guy in a film.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of bad things about him, mostly from Corolla. He doesn't like that he got the nomination for the Sunshine movie.
Because he was only in it for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah, and he got some sort of big acclaim. And seeing that movie, I don't feel like he did anything that was impressive. But
usually with the Oscars, it's the Oscars is very political. Okay. So they like
to... achievement type of thing?
Yeah, they like to screw out talented people and let them wait.
Okay.
So Pacino... Oh, no. Let me give you a better example. Martin Scorsese, the director.
The Departed, right?
So he finally won the Oscar for The Departed. But he was also nominated for Raging Bull, which many people consider the best movie of the 80s, the best boxing movie ever.
All right.
Taxi Driver.
Right.
Some people say De Niro's best performance.
Right.
He was nominated for Goodfellas,
mm-hmm.
who some people say is the best gangster movie ever.
Yeah, I would have to say yes.
He was nominated for The Aviator. which I don't think he should have won, but it was good, with Leonardo DiCaprio, okay, where he plays Howard Hughes. He was nominated for Gangs in New York. Good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they give it to him for The Departed, which is just like, they probably were like, he might not live. And, no, I'm serious. Because
it's the last Emmy,
like,
or whatever.
Like Pacino. Pacino was nominated for Godfather, didn't win. Godfather 2 didn't win. Serpico didn't win. Dog Day Afternoon didn't win. He finally wins for Scent of a Woman. He plays a blind army colonel or something. And Robin, the first Robin.
De Niro or Pacino?
Pacino.
Okay.
The original Robin, Chris O'Donnell from the Batman Forever.
Okay.
Batman and Robin.
Oh, that's right.
He has to take care of him. And that's where the hoo-ah comes
right
in. That's his role.
So he's driving a car blind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did Mythbusters about that.
Yeah.
Being able to drive blind just by direction.
No.
Not so easy. Especially not at those speeds.
Yeah.
In a city.
Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah!
Yeah. So, I mean, Arkin was fine. He was funny. I think he was probably outside of Walken.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know if Walken was trying to be intentionally funny or just, I love the way he speaks. But
he was very reserved in this movie.
He was.
It seemed like he let Pacino kind of lead the movie.
Yeah. But I mean, that's fine. Has Walken done anything like where he's the leading person?
Lead? Yeah, a couple. The Dead Zone, which was based on a Stephen King book, he was the main guy in that one. But that's old.
Yeah.
Lately, he's just supporting.
Yeah.
He won an Oscar in The Deer Hunter, Best Supporting Actor.
Is that with Kevin Bacon?
No, that's with De Niro.
Okay.
They're in Vietnam. You know the Russian roulette?
Yeah.
That movie where they're sitting and they're spinning and goes,
"Gah!" Yeah, yeah.
That's him and De Niro playing it.
Okay.
So
what am I thinking of? Some Kevin Bacon movie was like Hunter.
Mm.
Bear Hunter.
Probably.
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
He's been a lot.
Yeah. Well, Arkin was good. He had a lot of funny lines. He was the wheel man of the crew, mm-hmm, where he was the fast driver, which getting out of the retirement home right away, he takes one last sip of oxygen from his tank.
Let's go.
And then gets behind the charger and just tears that shit up,
mm-hmm,
like crazy. And that was one of those old folks jokes that they did where we're old, so old, we don't know what to do. And the charger is one of those push start button
things.
And they're all confused about it. But after that, he's fine, and he's like hauling ass.
I've never seen these buttons, these levers before. Yeah.
So many knobs and things.
It feels like I'm in a spaceship.
Right.
It looks like I'm in the future.
Right. So let's see what else. Oh, at the beginning, after they go to the whorehouse, Pacino, after having sex four times, apparently not the fifth because she was worn out.
Yeah.
So he says. as soon as he's done with that, he wants to party some more. So mm-hmm. They go out to a bar and he's like trying to pick up on her chick, which to me seemed weird. You got out, you got laid, and now you're going to go out and try to get laid again.
But then that's what they make you think. But then he just wants a dance from her.
Right. Which was smooth.
Yeah. His delivery on that was, I came back from somewhere that's really far. I'm not going to try to sleep with you.
Yeah. Well, first he walks up to him and he's like, "Hey, ladies, it's me.
Oh,
I'm Val." And like, "What? Who's this guy?" And they're like, "Why don't you go to sleep, Grandpa?" And he's like, "Hey, I got the..."
He goes, "I'm hotter down here than a great sequoia." Or he says something like that.
Something.
And they throw a drink on him.
Right.
So he goes back to the bar and Walken's talking to him. He's like, "I'm going to go back." So he goes back and he gives him like a smooth, smooth delivery.
Super good.
He says, "I'm not going to try to grab your ass. I'm not going to try to pick you up. I just want one dance with a beautiful girl. After that, you'll never see me again. I won't try to kiss you, nothing."
Right.
And then they dance and it kind of looks like she was into it.
Yeah.
And then she gives him a kiss on the cheek. Oh, no, he gives her a kiss on the cheek.
And that's it.
And that's it. He leaves.
And it was nice. And it was one of those things that like at the beginning I was thinking like, this is never going to work. But as mm-hmm. he was talking, I'm like, I felt myself like wanting to dance with him. Like, I'll dance with you, dude.
Yeah. You have to try that next time.
I think I might. Although he's got the old kind of non-threatening type of look about him. So maybe that's kind of added on to it. Like, oh, let the old man have his jollies.
Yeah. He's innocent or not innocent, but he's a safe.
He's harmless.
Bet. Yeah.
Me walking up to a girl doing that same thing. I feel like a little different reaction.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, ew.
I got one last dance in me and that's it. You'll never see me again. Like, oh.
What are you, like 28?
Yeah, you're going to kill me? What's... I'm going to see you again. It's weird.
The funny thing about this movie was the one-liners.
A lot of one-liners.
Them going back and forth, I think, was the best, you know, part of the movies. Of the movies. I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
Going to the movies here.
Yeah.
No, the movie had really good one-liners. But they had very good chemistry together.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Pacino and Walken have ever been in a movie together. I can't think.
Hmm.
This might be their first roles together.
It's possible. My favorite line from Christopher Walken is, I forget what happened exactly, but he says, "I threw up in my mouth." I think yeah. after like a lot of, maybe it was after the cop chase. They got chased by cops and, and Arkin loses the cops because he does something a Chinaman taught him or something. I'm like, that was weird. He's old. He's set in his ways. They can say Chinaman. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Chris Walken, I threw up in my mouth.
In my mouth.
Just like, it was beautiful.
That's right.
Beautiful delivery.
Now, there were two members of Breaking Bad in this movie, Adam, your show.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
The old mobster, which we already mentioned, the ding, ding, ding. Mm-hmm. But then Bill Burr, stand-up comedian, who I like.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a funny guy.
Who was in, he was Saul's, like, cleanup guy.
Yeah, one of the henchmen type of.
Yeah, he was a henchman, because Mike was the cleanup guy.
Right.
But he walks in, and he goes and asks Walken, you have the time?
Oh, by the way, he's given until 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To kill Pacino. And the guy, he's trying to get out of like, hey, what, do I have to kill him? He's like, yeah, kill him by tomorrow morning. What, like 10 a.m. or like after the late brunch?
Late brunch, breakfast time.
And then a needless part of exposition where he's like, he killed my only son.
Yeah.
You got to kill him by 10 o'clock. Like, all right. So these guys are following up on him when they're at the bar trying to pick up on the chick.
And I thought, all right, Burr, here we go.
All right.
Didn't see him again till the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah. And he's a good guy because he's very funny.
Yeah.
But he can also do serious, it turns out.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But I feel like comedic actors have more range.
Yeah.
No, hold on. Now I'm thinking of like Ben Stiller and Adam Sandler.
Well, no, because like Robin Williams is good doing dramas.
Yes, he is.
Jim Carrey was good in Truman Show.
Yeah. And 13.
Man on the Moon. Oh, the number 23?
That's what it was.
Man on the Moon, he was good, where he's Andy Kaufman. Comedians are surprisingly good when you put them in dramatic roles.
But
Tom Hanks used to be a comedian. He used to do comedies.
Makes
now
sense.
He's doing drama.
Yeah, he's got a lot of range too. But you can't go the other way. Like a lot of people that are meant to be actors, action people.
Have a hard time doing comedy.
They can't. No, they can't.
I wonder why.
But the Alec Baldwin, I think, is an exception to that. Because he was serious for a long time, and then all of a sudden 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, I think he made that damn show.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Now, a question for you.
Yeah.
This is based on a best friend having to kill his best friend.
Yes.
How would you handle that situation? How would you feel about that?
It'd be tough. I would still try to get my way out of it somehow. I mean, all right. Here's how the story goes. Pacino didn't rat on anybody. So in a weird way, you owe him.
Right.
You didn't go to jail. None of your crew went to jail. He took the hit and the time for you.
Right. For everybody.
For everybody. Which he could have easily ratted out the mob boss. So I understand the mob boss wants him dead because he killed his son, but he should realize, hey, this guy could have ratted on our whole operation, but he kept his mouth shut.
But at the same time, you can't be a mob boss and have compassion.
That's true. You have to take someone out.
Like he saved all of us, but he also killed my son. Yeah. I cannot let that go. Hey, you let that go, then all of a sudden your whole business starts.
Then they're like, oh, he's a bitch.
Right. Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to steal your drug supply. What are you going to do about it? Show compassion?
Right.
Yeah, that's true. It's a tough call.
Ooh.
I do like how we should just tell him what happened.
Yeah.
So they go to get his suit and.
Right.
Oh, they stop at a diner multiple times and they meet this waitress. Her name's Alex.
Right.
And she's really pretty.
Very pretty.
She's really cute.
Yeah.
And this is how you know it's a movie. I've never been anywhere on a late shift where you have someone that cute working there.
True.
Now I know we're in a fucking movie.
Right. And this is, she works from at least like
midnight,
9 or 10 until 6 in the morning. So this is like, she's got graveyard.
Yeah.
So it's a long shift, first of all. And yeah. And I don't think they say where they are, but I feel like it's New York. I'm pretty sure it's New York.
Yeah.
Just based on the alleys and whatnot.
The alleys and the bridge, I want to say New York.
Okay.
Because it looked like the same bridge in The Godfather where they're tailing Michael when he's going with the cop to the restaurant.
Right.
Yeah, I would say New York.
Yeah, so for a hot chick to work those hours in New York, I feel like there's got to be a lot of extenuating circumstances for that to be true. But again, I'll give it the walking pass.
Because we find out that, Pacino asks him, how's your daughter?
Right.
And he goes, I tracked her down. She wants nothing to do with me. She doesn't want me to find her. Didn't you have a daughter? How's she doing? I found her.
You're going into The Godfather.
I know.
It's not Pacino at all anymore.
God. I'm going to Brando so much.
Brando. That's what I was trying to think.
Fuck. So he asks, I'm just going to do my normal voice. I can't.
All right.
I'm embarrassing myself here.
All right.
He goes, I found her, but I don't want to tell her who I am.
Right.
So.
No, he says that he never found the granddaughter.
No, he says he found the granddaughter. He just doesn't want to say who he is.
Right. Well, you find that out later. But at the beginning, he never found the granddaughter. And then eventually Pacino figures it out. And it's like, that's your granddaughter, right? Like, yeah, when are you going to tell her?
I'll tell her tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll tell her tomorrow. But what was the point of that?
Oh yeah.
Diner.
Yeah, she's a very important piece of this story.
Yeah.
She's very sweet to Pacito, very sweet to Walken. You find out Christopher Walken goes in there every morning.
Right.
And gets tea with honey. That's his normal drink from her. So she becomes very important later on because we find out that Alex is the granddaughter to Christopher Walken.
Right.
So Walken is begging the mob boss, please don't let me, is there anything we could do? Show mercy. Please, please, please bring back my son. Yeah. Do you see how far please goes?
Right.
I want him dead.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
How's it? he should have went ding, A, one. No, right. It should have went ding, one, two, three, four, ding, right. T-U-V-W, ding. Right. It's just like Breaking Bad.
Right.
But he brings up Alex. He goes, how's Alex treating you?
Right.
And that's when Walken has a look on his face like, no.
Mm-hmm. See, and the way the movie ends, which I kind of predicted, but not the way that it happened.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that they were going to eventually have to go after this guy. They have to go after, I forget the guy's name.
The mob boss.
Yeah, it's not Gus, because that's...
Gus is the Fring.
Yeah,
is
Gus
the
Fring.
Main
right.
guy.
Yeah.
Gustavo?
Serrano? No. I don't know. Some doesn't matter. Some,
yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
I feel like at some point they're going to have to go after
man.
Him. Yeah, the dinger man.
We'll just call him that. The dinger man.
The wheelchair dinger. They had to go after him at some point, but the whole movie kind of didn't go that way.
No.
Until like the last 2 minutes. Finally, it comes to the point where, all right, the whole movie, they're working up to Walken killing Pacino, and they keep asking how much time we got left, and all right, now it's time to go. They get their suits, they head out, and...
Well, no, first... The Ding Ding Man sends Bill Burr and his other guy.
All right, yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing, shopping for fucking suits?
Yeah.
You need to finish and take care of business. And then they take him out, and he says, you tell him that this is my hit.
Right.
That I'm working this job.
Get off my action or something.
Yeah. So he goes, run along and tell him. And that's when they go to the mob boss, and
right.
they shoot up the place.
Right.
Which, it's only Bill Burr and a guy outside and the mob boss. I would imagine that a mob boss would have a little bit more muscle around him.
Again, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, though.
That's true.
Maybe.
They might be asleep. Might be the morning shift. Oh, and what gun did the mob boss ask for?
That,
he goes, get me a gun!
Yeah. He's on the second floor of this building, and they're walking like maybe half a block away at this point, walking up and shooting people with dual pistols. And the mob boss grabs a shotgun.
Yes.
And starts trying to shoot him. Now... I learned this from Looper, a Bruce Willis movie, with the blunderbuss.
I was wondering how you were going to get him in here.
Bruce Willis, I got to get a reference in there. But the blunderbuss, which is pretty much a shotgun of the future, very effective from like 10 to 14 yards and useless anything after that. So he has a shotgun. He's shooting from the second floor. I don't know. What's he expecting to do? You can't hit anybody from that far away. So he's a horrible mob boss. He deserves to die.
Yeah.
But we don't know if he dies or not.
It's very open-ended.
I like that. I like that about this movie.
Yeah.
It's open-ended to kind of make your own ending. However, the problem with the open ending, the problem with the whole last thing is after the mob boss threatens to kill Alex, the granddaughter, I feel like he's taking a huge risk in attacking the mob boss.
Because if he dies, he's going to go after Alex
right.
in retaliation.
Granddaughter's dead. He's taking huge risk. These two old guys taking on a mob boss and a syndicate. Which is only three people, apparently.
Since you bring up that point, let's just backtrack a little.
Right.
When they're in the car, they hear a noise in the trunk, and there's a woman in there.
Oh, yeah.
And she's naked, and she's tied up.
Yeah.
So all three of them treat her to dinner. Like, they give her clothes. Oh, to get her clothes? They, Pacino knocks out a Korean, what did he say? A Korean store clerk?
Yeah. Korean janitor or something.
Yeah. He knocks him out, give her clothes. So they go to the same diner where Alex is there. And
right.
she goes, you have all sorts of friends, don't you?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Doc.
Doc.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of friends, don't you, Doc? So they explain, where'd you find them at? Like, where do they pick you up at? So
right.
they go to the building and they tell her, you should go. This might not be pretty. He goes, yeah, but you're going to take care of it. He goes, there's four guys in there. We're two old guys. This might not be the outcome you're thinking of.
By the way, I had a problem with that whole thing as well a little bit. Where they're driving around in the car. They just shook the cops off and they're going really fast. And they realize there's a girl in the trunk or a person in the trunk. They go to the trunk, they open it, and there's a naked girl there.
Mm-hmm.
That girl becomes very trusting of the people.
Immediately.
Yeah. I understand they're old people, and she knows these are not the people that
kidnapped her.
But still, I feel like the reaction should be, get away as fast as possible.
Yeah.
But they go to the diner, she's in the restroom, she's hanging out with them, just like chit-chatting.
Yeah.
And that, if this was New York, I feel like the mentality should be, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Find some police, get, or something. But no, they're just like, just hanging out with these guys. All right. They don't trust me. You're old. They're harmless.
Yeah.
One dance you want? Okay. I'll give you one dance.
And that she is from Death Proof. The one who gives Kurt Russell, my Kurt Russell reference, right. A lap dance.
Yeah.
And they go in the place, they break in and they shoot two of the guys. And
yeah.
They hold the other two at gunpoint. They tie them up and they call the cops. And they go, you got 8 minutes response time. So she's got a bat.
Yeah.
She goes, I love musicals. She says something like that. My favorite was the Nutcracker. And then, bam! Yeah. She hits one guy in the nuts with a baseball bat.
I did enjoy that part of it because I feel like maybe not my old age, but at some point in my life, if for some reason I had nothing to live for anymore, I'd be that vigilante guy going out and seeking vengeance on people that deserved it. Like these assholes that kidnapped this chick and had their way with her and left her in the trunk. It's a cool thing to go out and then get that retribution.
But since I brought up this scene, going to the end, they've acknowledged this may not play out the way you think.
Right.
Those are going after four punks.
Right.
Now they're going against a mob boss who they know has weapons in his facility and whoever knows, however, henchmen. I just think it's weird that we're old. We may not be able to get these guys.
Right.
But we're going to take these guys on head on.
Yeah. Well, I think that in the way they knew they were going to die, this was kind of their way of, well, Pacino was going to die anyway, regardless. Yeah. And Joaquin, by not killing Pacino, was going to die anyway, regardless. So might as well go for it. But I still have a problem with they're going to kill the daughter.
Yeah.
If they die, the only way it could work out is if they kill everybody. These two old guys kill everybody in the whole gang.
Yeah.
Then it's a happy ending.
Yeah.
Any of the ending, they die and the granddaughter dies. The innocent granddaughter dies.
Yes.
So I feel like that was a huge calculated risk that should not have been taken.
Yeah.
Or if they were going to do it, don't storm the fucking castle with handguns. Try to be more suave about
it. He should go and be like, I did it. Something. Right. And then he pops out of the trunk or something.
Right.
Just, gah, gah, gah.
Maybe come in dragging a body bag with quote unquote Pacino in it.
Yeah.
And then he pops out.
Oh, with like the Dark Knight.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
something
like
that. That would have been a better way to do it.
Yeah.
But just to storm the castle, that seemed weird.
Maybe 30 years ago, that would have been a little more of an effective plan.
This is 2012.
Yes.
Or 2013. This is happening. They have to push button starter chargers. This is recent.
And they didn't know how to do it.
No.
put your foot on the gas.
Yeah.
No, put your foot on the brake and then press the button.
Yeah.
And Joaquin leaves his apartment and a shoebox full of money to Alex. Because he leaves a note with keys, and I guess something in the note says, go to this address.
Oh, okay.
I'm your grandfather.
I missed that part.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because at one point, Alex leaves a note, or Doc leaves a note for Alex in the diner, a suggestion box, which I guess she gets that same day somehow. That was hinging on a lot of things happening. The chances of her finding it, I feel like, I just worked a 14-hour shift. I'm going to get the fuck out of here. I'm not going to check the suggestion board.
And it seems like she's the only person there outside the cook.
Right.
That means someone has to tell her, hey, Alex, you got a note.
Right. Okay, so it makes sense that she goes to his apartment.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because Joaquin calls, and she answers the phone, and he tells her, hey, go to the closet and get a shoebox. At this point, I'm thinking that's her apartment.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, that's fucking weird.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I know why you said that.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, that's not creepy at all. Because he broke into his granddaughter's apartment, put a shoebox in the closet, and she's like, okay with it.
Yeah.
But no, okay, it was his apartment. That makes more sense.
That's why he said rent is paid for a year.
Okay.
Which I think would bring up a red flag. Hey, where did this old guy named Doc go?
Right.
Now this young girl's living here. That's kind of weird.
No, this old guy, by the way, who has been living a very specific life for a very long time, which I also find hard to believe as somebody that was a criminal to just instantly go to, I'm going to stay in my apartment and paint. There's nothing else, no excitement. After being somebody that had that much excitement in your life where you're doing shootouts and all kinds of crime, to just instantly go, all right, I'm just going to go have coffee. I'm going to paint and I'm going to sleep.
Because Pacino acknowledges that he's a man of his habits.
Right.
When Alex says he always orders the same thing every morning, he always comes in around this time, and he goes, I can't do it. He's a man of his habits.
He's a man of habits.
Oh, there you go.
He's a little more raspy. Yeah. But Yeah, so I mean, there were things that were like, eh, but again, the walk and pass. Mm-hmm. That's a new thing now, I think. Walken's gonna have a pass for anything that he does.
Like the Willis pass in Death Becomes Her.
Is right,
that
yeah.
Same idea?
Right, same thing. Okay. Yeah, he gets passes for that ridiculousness that happened in that movie.
Okay.
Let's see.
What did you think of the, that little plot with the girl in the trunk? As far as, do you think by them rescuing her, it made Walken realize, like, do you think he was doing it for his granddaughter? Like, he was thinking about, like, cause he's, has his mindset that he wants to kill, that he has to kill Pacino.
Right.
He has to kill him. But I think by him going, spending the day together, going out there, and I think that was the turning point for him where he realizes that, you know, this could have been my granddaughter, you know, he's my friend. I think that was the turning point where he started to finally realize, like, I don't know if I can do this or not. Cause it was after that when Alan Arkin died and he saw, like, my friends are dying.
Yeah.
I don't want to be left alone.
Interesting. I didn't think that at all.
Shit. I took this deep.
No, that's deep. That makes a lot of sense.
This is supposed to be a fun,
yeah.
funny show. And I just took it deep.
So I took it as he was remembering
the good old days.
The
heisting again.
Right. Exactly. Where he's not just painting and drinking tea. That now he's doing something.
Uh-huh.
And there is a little bit of that vengeance factor. Maybe it does play the fact that he does have a granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was more just about vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Since he did turn his life to this painter, coffee, tea drinker dude.
A very monk life.
Right. Now he's like, all right, there's such thing as good and evil, and I want to be the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's still semi-bad, but trying to go the good route. So, yeah, I'm going to right this wrong. And maybe he's also thinking, I'm going to die anyway. Because I would also be thinking that, yes, he kills Pacino. I still don't think he's going to get let off the hook somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he does kill Pacino, I think the ding guy is still going
to
kill him.
Yeah, because he's defiant to him.
Right.
Twice he said, no, I don't
yeah,
want to do
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, it's a loose end.
Yeah.
You can't have loose ends if you're the mob boss.
That's true.
If you're going to kill the guy that killed your son, you got to kill anybody involved with that as well.
Because so, Gus Fring took care of all his loose ends.
Exactly.
See?
It all comes back around. So I feel like maybe Walken started realizing that, yeah, this is not going to end well. So... might as well go out in a hail of glory. So maybe that's how it ended up, but still, again, kill the daughter. But
I like movies that are open-ended.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've ever seen The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, I did too.
That ends very open-ended where he's having a heart attack in his last match. He's having a heart attack and he jumps on the top rope and he jumps off and the screen goes black and then that Bruce Springsteen song comes on. And I saw it in the theaters and people were like, oh, I'm like, heaven forbid that you have to think.
I know.
That you have to use your brain to wonder, oh, what happened right now?
Yeah. That was also brought up in The Negotiator, the Kevin Spacey and Samuel L. Jackson, where about opening the movies where you got to think for yourself. Because that was a whole part of that movie at the very end. I think it was Kane dies at some old Western.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how they tied it up about he didn't die or didn't die or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But open-ended is good because it does make you think, but I understand the whole wanting to have closure. You're investing 2 hours of your life or an hour and a half into a movie, and you want to be taken away because you don't want to think about things. For me, I like movies because I don't have to think about life.
Yeah.
But then have to sit there and think about it. I don't know. It's a good exercise in imagination,
which is
cool. But I'm going to think about it anyway, about how things should have happened and didn't happen, why they were walked into the retirement home and took the dude out of there.
That's so funny.
Which, by the way, this old guy about to die, amazing in the sack.
Yes. I forgot about that.
Wow. One of his last things he wanted to do before he died was have a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they go back to the same whorehouse and they make it happen. But
with the owner.
Yeah. When they get there, only one girl's on duty right now. Oh, how about you? I'm like, I don't do it. I don't do it for money.
And he whispers something to her.
Yeah.
You can't really hear. It's very vague.
Yeah. He says something like, experience, you'll never forget, blah, 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 something, experience. And then all of a sudden they're gone for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come down and the girls are all like in love with this dude.
Yeah.
Like he was amazing. And he was about to die half an hour ago.
He has hours to live.
Yeah.
But his heart is strong enough to go for an hour.
To pleasure two women to the point where they're now in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Before we wrap this up, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Did this have a turn-off moment for you?
Is it not? No.
Okay.
No, it was pretty good the entire time.
Okay.
Even the parts that were kind of like, not my world.
Yeah.
It was enough to be like, okay, but I'll keep going with it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better movies I think we've seen.
Yeah.
One of the better ones.
A very good surprise. I like movies like this where you walk in like, I don't know. And then It turned out to be
decent. I was expecting bad.
Yeah.
I was expecting, because there was previews for another movie that came out, like, Leaving Las Vegas or Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. With Michael Douglas.
Yeah. And a bunch of old people, like, living it up again. Uh-huh. It just looked god awful.
Yeah.
So I was assuming something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
Very pleasantly.
I love movies like this.
Yeah.
That they surprise you.
Yeah.
And you don't get that a lot anymore.
No.
Because every movie has like three different trailers and you see all the behind the scenes photos.
Right.
And...
Plus it helps that I had never heard about this movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
that would help too.
We want to do a Pacino movie, and I figured anything more recent than Pacino is going to be bad. And even though I was walking in there like, I think Pacino can still mess it up enough, but no.
Real quick, did you like Pacino in this?
Yeah, I did. Because he was being Pacino, but it wasn't like aggressively over the top Pacino.
Okay.
It was enough that it was like, okay.
He was just being crazy Pacino.
Right.
Not yelling Pacino.
Right. I mean, he was an old guy playing an old guy.
Yeah.
And I guess Pacino can get away with doing that as an old person.
Yeah.
If he's trying to play a younger person doing that kind of stuff, like, all right, calm down, dude.
Okay.
But he's old, he's honorary, he's about to die, so fuck it.
Okay. Well, that's our opinion on the movie. Like I said at the top of the show, we have lots of them, but we don't have any credentials.
You.
Now we're going to hear from people who actually have credentials. Adam, would you like to hear bad reviews or good reviews first?
Let's do bad first.
Okay. Mark Mohan of the Portland Oregonian.
Oh.
Said, it's often said that actors with distinctive vocal styles could compellingly read the phone book. In this case, it would absolutely be a more entertaining hour and a half.
Oh, ooh. Come on.
They did have good voices, though.
They did.
Pacino? Yeah. I told you in the beginning, if De Niro would have been in this, it would have been game over.
Right.
Just to have like that trio of voices.
Yeah.
You talking to me? Eh?
Yeah.
Eh? Okay. Scott Bowles of USA Today said, it's been a long time since a movie wasted as much talent as Stand Up Guys, a film that aims to be a geezer Goodfellas, but whose execution is a misfire.
Nah, come on. That's a little harsh.
Yeah. Tom Long of the Detroit News says, is it fun? Sure, some of the time. Is it good? That's a stretch. Does it tap the potential of these three actors? Forget about it. I swear to God it says that. It's
wow.
F-U-G-G-E-D-A-B-O-U-T-I-T.
Wow.
Forget about it.
Is this a reviewer in Jersey?
Detroit News, Tom Long.
Okay.
Usually when we read these bad reviews, they're not really bad.
No,
those are harsh, dude.
Yeah, these are bad.
Okay.
Wow.
Here are some good reviews. Peter Travers, one of the most well-known critics, Peter Travers of Rolling Stone says, some actors don't need top shelf material. Just the pleasure of their company is enough. And so Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, Alan Arkin turned the insubstantial stand-up guys into solid entertainment.
All right. Okay. Yeah, as they're walking past there.
Yeah. Peter Howell of the Toronto Star says, it's just fun to watch Pacino, Walken, and Arkin work together. Very much enjoying the shared experience. Seeing stand-up guys is an offer you could easily refuse. But hey, why fight it?
Oh, jeez.
Another
pun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Stephen Holden of the New York Times said, most of the modest pleasures are in the ways the men expertly play off one another and invest their shallow characters with more depth than any filmmaker could reasonably expect.
Yeah. I could feel like they were friends. That was another good thing. I guess
they all had good chemistry together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though none of them, I don't think any of them have ever worked together.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank, but for this the first time.
Pulled it off very well.
I
believe that they were old-timey people.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty decent actor, so I mean, they did a good job, I think.
Mm-hmm. Rotten Tomatoes. This is the part of the show where I make, usually the guys, but just Adam in this case, guess the scores on Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes has a score of 100%. Anything above 60 is fresh. Anything above 85 is certified fresh. Anything below 60 is rotten. Adam, would you like to guess the audience or the tomato meter, the critics first?
I'll say the audience gave it a 78.
48%.
Whoa, no. Wow.
I guess they weren't on our side of the game.
But it's just fun. It's fun to watch these guys.
I know.
It's
great.
That's rude.
The critics, the tomatometer.
See, now this has got to be bad then. I would assume then, based on that, the critics would have given it a 56%.
37%.
Oh,
it's rotten.
God in heaven. Wasn't that bad?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
There's a lot worse movies. We have seen worse movies.
Let me direct
this.
You. They Live, yes.
A movie which gets referenced twice.
Oh, my God.
37%.
That's outrageous.
Okay, look, I understand they're not trying to win an Oscar with this movie, but come on.
No. Yeah.
Take it for what it is.
It's no Goodfellas, I mean, but for what it is, it's a damn good movie.
Yeah.
Ugh,
that makes me sad.
That's an outrage.
I'm honestly sad right now.
Does like, nobody else have the walking pass?
My heart hurts. Or even a Pacino pass.
Yeah, come on.
An Arkin pass.
Jeez.
A Ding Ding pass.
Yeah.
Usually I give out trivia. I couldn't find any.
Okay.
This was nominated for one award. It was for a Golden Globe.
Okay.
It was for Best Song by Bon Jovi. I don't have the name of the song, but It was nominated for something.
Okay.
But I do have stats.
All right.
We want to put this film into perspective with the other more successful films that were released that year so we can get a feel of how well financially it held up to its peers. Because in the world of movies, it's all about money.
Right.
So this movie's budget was $15 million.
Okay.
Would you like to guess how much it's made?
Well, it was just last year. And based on how
it
bad
it came out
people's...
February of 2013.
Okay. So less than a year.
So it's already out of theaters.
Okay. Man, those reviews are really disheartening. Triple is breaking even? That's how
about triple, yeah.
All right. I'll say 50 million is what it made.
3.3 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell? What is happening?
It's like everything I read to you is just disappointing.
It is.
Yeah.
Usually I'm shocked by how much the crappy movies do make. This is a decent one. It makes shit. God.
This debuted in 18th place on February 1st, 2013.
On that day? Oh, fuck.
The number one movie that week was Warm Bodies.
Come on.
Did you watch Warm Bodies? I liked it better than Twilight. It was better than I thought it would be.
That's most movies.
Yeah, I thought it was. I liked it. Well, it had Malkovich.
Yeah.
But he wasn't very Malkovich-y in that.
No.
He was phoning it in.
The premise bothered me. A zombie that has feelings.
Yeah.
Although I had that one dude. He's on The Daily Show, the bald dude.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Corddry.
Yeah, Corddry.
Yeah.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Right.
Yeah.
It was decent.
This movie was in theaters for 5 weeks before it got pulled.
Wow. That's not enough time.
Yeah.
What else was out at this time?
Around this time? Here's the thing about movies. Scheduling is very important.
Right.
Usually... January, February, March, April, these the first third of the year is just the studios just dump whatever.
Right.
Sometimes you'll find hits. 300, which was a big financial and critical hit.
Yeah.
Critical hit. It was very successful in the critic's eyes.
Right.
And it was very successful.
Critically acclaimed?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
Can't talk right now.
Yeah.
Financially, it made a lot of money. Came out in March.
Hmm.
Usually horror movies. Because it costs very little to make. They'll put them out in January, February, March, somewhere around that time. So,
right. Plus, it's a movie dump.
Yeah. This is a movie dump.
Right.
Summer is your blockbusters. The winter is where you get all your Oscar movies out. So
it feels like cheating.
Yeah.
To me. Because, like, the last movies you see are going to stick in your mind more than anything else. So, of course, if you put the movies towards the end of the year, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in January? I don't know what happened back then.
Who knows?
Yeah. Before Christmases came out or something.
This was the 158th highest grossing film of 2013 last year.
Top, wow.
The top five of that year. Number one, The Hunger Games Catching Fire, $420
million. Mm.
Number two, Iron Man 3, $409
million. Okay.
Number three, Despicable Me 2, $368 million.
All right. So far, catering to the younger audiences,
mm-hmm.
much younger.
Number four, Man of Steel, $291 million. And number five, Monsters University, $269 million.
Wow, so 2013 was the year of the kid, seems like.
Yeah.
Wow.
All movies are either sequels or they're based on a pre-existing property. That's
right.
Remember when I read to you Above the Law?
Yeah.
The top five was like Ghostbusters. Whatever it was, they were all like original movies.
Right.
Stuff that wasn't based on anything. That's how Hollywood is now.
That's a shame. It's a damn shame. This was I wouldn't say top five for this movie, but
no.
128.
It got overlooked.
It did. It's sad. It's sad.
What's on Netflix now? Netflix is the new video store.
Okay.
Because in the video store, and it really is like the video store now, because movies that don't do good in theater, they get dumped in the video store quick.
Right.
And when you're looking through the video store, the cover art sells you. Like, ooh, what's that? So when you're going through Netflix, one of the first things that pops out is the cover art.
Right.
So it's the new video store. I've discovered some things on Netflix where I remember seeing in theater, I was like, eh. I saw it on Netflix, I'm like, not bad.
Okay.
Not bad.
Well, that's another thing, like, I don't want to pay to watch it.
Yeah, that's true.
Even though you're paying for Netflix, you don't think you're paying for it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's free. I'm not going to waste any time or money on this, so why not?
I would recommend watching this.
I would
this
too.
This is definitely a watch.
Yes, this is a watch. One of the few watch movies that we review. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. Your favorite has been Pitch Perfect so far. Where would this go?
I think this is on top of Pitch Perfect.
What? This is your new favorite? Okay.
Although Pitch Perfect has become a part of my...
everyday life?
I was going to say every day, but I'll say like weekly. Like, I do listen to the soundtrack pretty often. It's just very entertaining. I'm a sucker for mashups. I think that's a big thing about it. Any kind of mashup, remix type of thing. It's creative. But it's walking, man.
So, top three. It's at least in your major top three so far. What
I would say that this would probably go first, and then Pitch Perfect, and then probably Event Horizon after that.
Okay. And They Live still dead last?
Oh, my God. Dead last.
I want to find something that's worse than that. I don't know if you can handle it.
I don't know. That's going to be a tough call to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a suggestion for that, by the way, out there in podcast.
Oh, there you go.
If you think I'll like something less than They Live, first of all, how dare you? But
well, They Live actually
you.
Came from a user, remember? So the audience could find you a all movie. Right. That's bad.
All right. But nothing Sandler or Stiller, because that's just the easy. Of course, it's going to be worse.
Yeah, that's going to be way too easy.
Yeah, no, I will refuse. Unless there's like a huge calling for some sort of Sandler or Stiller movie, I will not. I'll watch Jack Black movie as long as it's the Jackal, because he dies by Bruce Willis's hand.
Yeah.
And that's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you do have a suggestion, send us an email. It's spoilers@ratpackpodcast.com. If you are going to buy this movie, go to amazon.com. But before you do that, go to our webpage. Click on the link on the right-hand side of the page. It takes you to Amazon. Do your shopping as normal and doesn't cost you anything extra. And we get a little kickback. Also, if you want to rent it, you can rent it on iTunes. And also, again, on our website, on the left-hand side of the page, click on that link and we get a kickback for that as well.
Just watch it any way you can. This is definitely worth a watch.
Absolutely.
I remember seeing the trailer. I was like, I don't know. It's like Pacino past his prime. Because when this came out, Pacino was doing weird. Like he did Jack and Jill, that Adam Sandler movie where he played his sister.
Oh, no, he did?
He was in that.
Oh, no.
So he was doing these weird movies, and I saw this. I'm like, nah, that's a pass.
See, that's why I was assuming it would be a bad movie, because Pacino lately is not shooting on all cylinders anymore.
He hasn't for a while.
Yeah. Oof. But yeah, it's fun to watch. Enjoy it. Everybody else, enjoy it.
This is definitely a watch. It's great to discover a movie that you think is going to suck and then it wins you over.
Absolutely. That's always fun.
That's how a lot of that's why I want this movie show to become like a bad movie show, because we're going to get crap, which is fun to make fun of, but every once in a while, you're going to get a gem.
Right. And or assuming it's going to be bad. If we're going to review a movie, we're assuming it's going to be bad off the bat.
Yeah.
For this one not to be bad, that's got to say something, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
37%, Adam.
That's an outrage.
Ah! My heart is just breaking.
If that's true, I'm going to say 35% of that was walking. And 1% for Arkin and Pacino, I guess.
37%? Wait a minute. I want to see real quick just They Live score. I just want to see what that was.
Well, I think I gave that like a 7%. Maybe. I think it got like a 20-something. Or 17 or something. Ugh. There's no reason this should have been as low as it is.
It's true. I think people are still stuck in the past with Pacino and Walken because they were great back then.
Okay.
So I guess they're still thinking like, look, you used to be so good and now look at you. You're doing crap like this. Ugh. Why? Leave this movie alone.
That would be true for like Nicolas Cage movies where used to be okay back in the day. Now it's everything has got awful. But has Walken done a bad movie? I don't think he has.
Yeah, he's done some bad stuff.
Oh, is he?
I don't want to break your heart.
Oh, no.
I can't find the score, but I know it's higher than... I definitely know it's higher than this movie, which I know would disappoint you, Adam.
Yes, I'm sure it would break my heart.
But you got to admit, that bubblegum line is good.
It's good in this movie. It's good.
Oh, it wasn't good in that one?
No. And then they live, it was not good. Because it was just him being all crazy. Holy hell. They Live got 84%.
Is that the audience or the critics?
Thermometer.
Oh shit, the critics?
Audience gave 79%.
Fuck.
No. Oh, but this is an old movie. I'm going to assume, hopefully.
20 years from now.
Yes.
When
yes,
Pacino's dead.
Right.
Walken's dead. And right. Arkin's dead.
This will come up much higher than fucking 30. Jesus Christ.
But this culture is all about now, now, now.
Yeah.
So it might get appreciated later on. My friend Brian has a funny joke about IMDb because everybody uses IMDb and you can rate the movies any way you want. Okay. So when The Dark Knight came out, it was the number one rated movie of all time on IMDb.
Okay.
It beat The Godfather, Casablanca, The Wizard of Oz, classics.
Huh.
So my friend Brian has this funny joke about that, about this, like, about society now, how everything's about now, now, now. I got to tweet everything. I got to put my photos on Instagram. He goes with movies. That's the best movie I ever saw because I saw it today.
Yeah. True. Yes.
So maybe in 20 years, this movie might get some love.
I certainly hope so.
But watch it.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Next week, we're still not sure what we're going to do next week.
Yes.
It'll be a surprise. We'll think of something good. It's probably going to be another bad one.
Hopefully.
I don't know if we can get two gems in a row.
Yeah.
You never know, though. Never know. But until next time, this is Hollywood.
And I'm Adam.
Bye.